Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, along with the YIC, Liddell Willingham.
Yappiest in charge today.
Yeah.
A lot of yapping going on.
Matty Ice on the other side of the glass. In case you missed the first hour plus of the show, we had an imaginary pancake and waffle party to celebrate Linnell burying the Commanders last Friday before their demolition derby of the Tennessee Titans with a pitchfork and sealing their season. We catered in some food, surprised him. J.P. Finley came over and celebrated a little bit. The video's out at WrestleMania 621. You could see it on the old X machine. And Linnell's been a good sport. He's had some fun with it. It was all Maddie's idea. And it was rooted in a caller who called up Smitty last Friday on the holiday weekend on both stations and said, you know, basically Linnell needed a spatula because he was too busy flipping his opinions. We've also gone on to the F-16s and the Maryland situation and RFK, and now what a new president obviously could bring to the table. We're going to get into Jaden Daniels' grade, report card grade, for the first 13 games of his career. But first, I wanted to get to NJ, I believe in PG County,
MJ,
who's been very patiently waiting on hold. Sorry about that, MJ. How are you?
How are you? Doing well. How you living?
Doing good, man. Thanks for the patience. Appreciate you.
Yeah. So just to wrap this up on the whole Maryland, I heard about this morning on Twitter just as much as you guys did. And this is, I think this is more the case of Maryland just trying to get something back because, I mean, Maryland, I don't know if you guys have noticed, Maryland, they have a budget shortfall in and of its, in its own right, you know, according to D.C., like most states in the country. And even though FedEx to RFK isn't a relocation, it feels like you're moving the team away from one jurisdiction to another. I just, with all respect to Senator Van Hollen, I feel like this is something that if they thought about this, why didn't they think about this over the course of years? Now, I understand you had that last owner there, but I think this is just hindsight and just trying to react to something, especially seeing as though this RFK relocation has spanned years now. This is even before we became the Commanders and all that other stuff.
Maybe they were thinking privately about this, right? And trying not to use this, but now they sense that it might be slipping away because the Commanders are certainly putting the pressure on. I mean, Roger Goodell and Josh Harris were at Capitol Hill, or in the Capitol building, I should say, on Monday, politicking to try and get this bill or this addendum attached to the actual vote, right? So they kind of sense, hey, this is going away. And I believe somebody, I forget who it was, that told them, hey, man, you guys settle this. You guys solve this, right? And then maybe they were like, oh, yeah, we thought about this fighter jet thing. Maybe now's the right time to use that.
I find it interesting because if fighter jets were a problem, then I'm not too well versed into defense funding, but
neither am I.
The United States spends blank checks on that. I would have thought that would have been rectified in itself. But yeah, this is kind of a case of Maryland just trying to get something out of potentially losing a major source of revenue in the next decade or so. But But hey, I mean, this wouldn't have happened if the Commanders weren't a good football team now. So shout out to the team.
Yeah. No, you're right. Thank you, NJ. Appreciate you. Thanks for hanging in. You know, before we go on to the report card thing, I started to think about this. Maryland, if they're willing to drop the opposition, right, so that the vote, you know, maybe they're counting on, oh, that's not going to go through. They're not going to finance it. They're not going to get a deal done. And we'll be here waiting to pick up the pieces. But they have to operate as if this is a possibility drop opposition, this could eventually go through. When? Don't know. How? Don't know. But it could eventually go through. And then they have to start thinking, okay, what do we do with that land, which the Commanders currently own?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but we want to redevelop, and we don't want to be left with an aging, decaying stadium, basically like RFK is right now. So what do we do on land that we don't actually own when we have this $400 million-ish investment in the surrounding area, right, of the stadium complex to refurbish, to reinvigorate, whatever, presumably, again, a shopping district or an entertainment district or what have you. So they've got to be thinking of all of these different things. If we drop the opposition and if this deal eventually goes through, just like DC does and Josh Harris does, because if you say, well, if Josh Harris just pays off Maryland to drop the opposition, well, this, again, still no guarantee that, yeah, while the land swap probably goes through, there's still no guarantee that we're going to build a stadium. Right, because of the finances,
right,
and the unique challenges,
and that's called what is it? Dotting your I's and crossing your T's. You got to be prepared. Pray for what they say: prepare for the worst, but still praying for the best. It's kind of the situation that I feel like they're in. But like at the end of the day, I think wherever the stadium ends up, I think there is going to be massive economic potential from it. I think when I look at the jurisdiction that could use it the most, I keep going back to, well, I would love for DC to have it if DC doesn't have to foot a majority of the bill. I would love for Maryland to have it. But at the end of the day, I think the stadium is going to be where the stadium is going to be.
If you had to make up your mind, one or the other, without political football, without political influence or whatever, just you're a Maryland guy, but you work and you operate and whatever in D.C., which one would you choose? If everything was, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other, which it's not, we understand
it's
that.
It's so
but
hard
just,
for me to operate under that premise. It's just not, but I mean, I've gotten to bear witness to a stadium being in Maryland. I guess I am curious to see what you all are talking about and what it really does for this area and how much more support the team would have and so on and so forth. I think the nostalgia that you all continue to talk about with this thing, I don't know anything about it.
Only nostalgia, it's also geographical advantages, right, if you think about it. I mean, Landover, I don't think it's as much of a pain in the butt to get to as, say, like Danny Ruey, who just abhors the thought of the location. Yeah. But I'm a guy who arrives basically 2.5 to 3 hours early to games, and I'm a guy who leaves basically 2.5 to 3 hours after games. So I don't have to deal with as much. It would be easier, I guess, quicker, I don't know, more efficient for me to get to RFK, but maybe not,
but the whole
maybe not
thing.
That much. So I don't really look at that as kind of a big deal for me.
I don't think it should be a big deal for anybody. If you have been to a sporting event anywhere, there's traffic.
Yeah.
Bottom line. True. That's just what it is. Like,
I guess there's more traffic on the Beltway, right? And the resulting highways than stadium traffic.
I think the Metro is a big part of
that.
But the whole thing is the Metro is right next to FedEx.
Well,
it's not right.
That's
next
not
to
what
it,
the people that actually march that way from the metro station
really
up to the front door of the current stadium.
Yeah.
They it's not right next
it's
to.
Not.
It's
not. I'm being
it's
unfair
a,
with that.
Roughly 9/10 of a mile walk, and if it's really raining hard, or if it's snowing or icy or very windy or very cold like it was on Sunday, and there was no snow or ice, but it was very cold and windy, right? That is a problematic. You don't want your patrons, who you're then asking to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars, to do that.
Shuttle them. Have
that,
a shuttle
that,
sit
that
at
is
the metro.
One way to get around it.
They should just have a shuttle, you know, that sits at the metro.
Yeah, like. I mean, but a new stadium there, my understanding, because of the way things are structured, would be closer to the current metro stop than the current footprint of the stadium. All right, we're going to leave that alone for right now. We will continue to monitor development. So Jaden Daniels,
yeah,
as we all know, we all think he is the franchise future, current, what have you.
Here we go.
Right?
Him.
He's got an 87.9 out of 100 quarterbacking grade, or I should say overall grade from PFF, which we took some time to kind of say PFF, some of their numbers are weird, wild, wonky, you know, this week, the week before, so on and so forth. He is fourth among 65 graded quarterbacks in terms of the highest grade. The highest grade you can get is 100. He's got an 87.9 overall. He's got 2,819 passing yards. That's 12th out of 65 quarterbacks. He's got 15 passing touchdowns. That's 13 out of the 65 graded quarterbacks. Okay? So he's fourth in overall grade, 12th in passing yards, again, amongst the 65 graded quarterbacks, because they don't grade quarterbacks that, or people that only throw one pass or whatever. Maybe it's a trick play or what have you. So he's fourth overall grade, 12th among 65 in terms of most passing yards, 13th among all quarterbacks in terms of passing yards, and we haven't even gotten to his running prowess yet, which we all obviously know is what kind of separates him and makes him special and puts him in a category potentially to be with the Josh Allens and the Lamar Jacksons. Not that he's there yet, but potentially if he continues to grow and all that. The team, which you put a pitchfork in on Friday morning. The team is 8-5. They're on their bye week, and they come back and face New Orleans on the road, a team that has been very plucky, let's just say, since Darren Rizzi took over. But they did lose their last game, and this week they'll take on the Giants, and they'll take on Drew Lock, and they've now lost Taysom Hill for the rest of the year, which is a massive loss for them. And they're going to have to face their former cornerback and Marshawn Lattimore, so on and so forth. So I would say certainly the Commanders are going to be expected to win that game. But that being said, if I asked you, say, hey, man, like teacher Linnell Willingham,
mm-hmm.
right, put you in charge of a classroom.
Ooh. We'll learn a lot.
Who came up with that brilliant idea? If I asked you for a letter grade on Jaden Daniels, considering what I just laid out and where we're at now, and yes, in lieu of more information, 2, 3, 4 games from now, you can change your grade.
Oh,
but
really?
Right now, right now, you would say what?
I give him an A.
Just a flat out A.
I give him a flat out A. Percentage, 90. I give him an A.
Okay.
Look. I said at the top of the show, he gets an A, but how hard do you have to work to earn the A? Oh, that's up for debate. I continue to believe that he is, Jaden Daniels, a part of one of the most quarterback-friendly schemes in the National Football League, and it's a credit to Cliff Kingsbury and this offensive coaching staff to how they've gotten him here.
Wait, the same Cliff Kingsbury that the fan base wanted to throw off the cliff?
Exactly. The same.
Because Cliff of the number nerds and the analytics amigos were too busy cooking up all sorts of conspiracy theories?
If you like it, I love it. But you get what I'm saying. I think he is executed at a supremely high level. His decision making continues to be sound. In every game that he's played, like the decision making, that's a real strength of his. The arm talent is real. The throw that he threw to Terry McLaurin on the slant Sunday, like for him to switch his arm slot the way that he did, there's a lot of impressive stuff.
To drop down, little three-quarter style.
There's a lot of impressive stuff that this kid does. And the context that I also want to add, when it comes time to pay Jaden Daniels the $300 million contract that he's going to get at the end of his rookie deal. Remember
that. Assuming that he can stay on the field.
Oh, God. Remember, though, right? The conversations we had this summer surrounding Dak, Trevor, Tua. Mm-hmm. Jaden is different than those guys because Jaden is proving it right now. He directly impacts his teammates and makes everybody around him better. Dak doesn't do that. Tua doesn't do that. Trevor doesn't do that.
Dak didn't do that last year?
Dak is a product of being insulated with talent around him. Dallas is talented. Who's got more offense? Who had more offensive
certainly
talent?
Certainly he had more surrounding over the talent. Life of,
that's
sure.
The point. That's
but
the,
they won
the
12
point,
games.
I don't, that's the point,
they,
Chris.
They won 12 games each of the last 3 years before this year. I mean, to say that Dak didn't do that, I think, is a little bit, I don't know. I have a problem with that.
That it's all on Dak?
I'm not saying it's all on Dak. I'm Chris, just saying to say that he didn't elevate his team, I think, is a little bit.
The overall point is, it is very clear mm-hmm. that Jaden Daniels has elevated everybody
that
around him
fair.
Because he is working with, in my opinion, the most talent-deficient offense in the NFL, even up front along the offensive line. As great as they played Sunday, right? There's a reason Washington has to play
fair.
The style of ball that
yes.
they play because they can't survive a drop-back, five-step, seven-step offense.
All right, so Jaden, we mentioned, had an 87.9 out of 100 overall grade by PFF, an 83.1 out of 100 overall passing grade, an 81.4 overall rushing grade or run offense grade. I would say for me, this is me, and maybe this is a little unfair, I would go A-. Mm-hmm. From the standpoint of this, and this is not going to be something that people want to hear or like, and this is going to be something that you are going to chalk up to. Every quarterback does this. But there have been plenty of times this year where Jaden, while he has not made the killer mistake in terms of like the killer mind-numbing interception, where he has missed things that could have made his life easier, better. Their life easier, better, remove pressure, won more games perhaps. Pittsburgh, even early in the year. I wonder if I'm being too hard on him in lowering him to an A-, but I think an A might be just a tad bit too generous. Because again, I'm trying to
really?
I'm trying to acknowledge that, like, for me, an A means he's been great, outstanding, all of that, which he has been. But to say that he hasn't done anything wrong or made a few mistakes or maybe a couple of bad decisions or miss some things that, again, could have made his life a whole lot easier, or has been perfect? No, I can't say that. And I do understand that is part of playing the position, part of being in the
100%.
NFL. You are not going to do everything perfectly. But I don't have to grade you perfectly if you're not going to do everything perfectly. So that's why
fair,
I dropped down to an A minus. I'm not going to a B plus. I think there is a difference between an A minus and a B plus. Some people would say, no, there is really no difference. I say there is. I say A minus only because I look at every game and I say, gosh, if he would have seen that. Oh, if he would have just... He could have made his life easier. He could have avoided potentially getting hit. He could have potentially avoided the rib injury. Potentially. I mean, again, on the play that he got hurt, it was a read option quarterback keeper, and he made the right decision because he got 47 yards or whatever it was.
Correct.
But I think there was, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm not remembering, there was an option for him to throw the football off of the fake. Right? Whether he could have, didn't, I don't know. It doesn't matter. The point being is, he has been really, really good, but I don't think he's been perfect. And that's why
but
I go A-.
But A would not signify, that A doesn't signify perfection. 100% does. I gave him a, it was
so
crazy.
You're saying because you didn't give
him
an A plus?
I gave him a 90. I know you're far, 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 far removed from your time in high school. I mean, eons, centuries removed from, and I get that. I gave him a grade of a 90. That's an A minus, Chris.
Well,
that's the same grade.
Wait,
a 90 is an A minus.
Well, no, you gave him an A.
A 90 is an A minus.
But no, that's the grade that I gave him.
I gave
you're
him a 90.
By giving him an A, if you're saying an A minus is 90, an A is higher than 90, is it?
Now, in both of your defense, you did say 90, but you also said that you'd give him an A. You said in the letter grade A.
Correct.
However, I would argue that in reality, we're talking about a course and a grade that's much like to anybody that was a science major listening out there. It's like organic chemistry. Even if you're in the top of the class, you're still not coming out with 100. Like, there isn't a single quarterback that's going to be 100. So
fair.
You need to also kind of rule on the curve.
But can you come out with, like, again, if he's saying an A, wouldn't that signify that we're talking 93, 94 as opposed to 90? And not that that's
would.
A huge thing, but, I mean, it is a thing.
It would, except when you're looking at the curve. And when you look at it from the standpoint of if he's at about a 89, 90 for his ratings – and he's like number four, number five, then that means that he's in the top percentage of the league, which on that curve for organic chemistry as the basis, that's still an A. I mean, I have friends that got 75s in Orgo and got A's. It's the intensity and the strength of the class. His percentages, they're not perfect, but no one's perfect because you can't have a perfect season.
That's real.
Hmm. Interesting.
Matt always brings the perspective.
A perspective, no doubt about it.
But I do think you're.
Well, let me ask you this: am I being too harsh 100%. By saying he's missed things?
It's not that you're, and that's where we got to stop this, right? We've had this conversation multiple times on this show. It's not about you being too harsh. There is just this mama's boy mentality that the fan base has with Jaden, to where you cannot be objective about what you see with him. I've gotten in trouble for it. You've gotten in trouble for it. So I don't have a problem with you being critical, but like what I don't want you to do is start making things up on the fly. I would never accuse you of making things up. Yes, I would. But, you know, like...
I'm certainly not making this up. This is a feel thing.
The great American philosopher, Dwayne Michael Carter, a.k.a. Lil Wayne, once said, "I call it how I see it with my glasses on."
Mm-hmm.
And my caged friend, you are wearing glasses.
All right.
You just call it how you see it, brother. Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
So Linnell gives him an A. I give him an A minus. Matt, real quickly, you gave him A.
I'd give him an A minus where he's just on the edge of A. It's a couple things that need to get fixed and he goes up. A couple things wrong and he goes down to a B plus. But he's still at the top echelon of the league regardless.
Anybody have any opposition to that? Could anybody do A plus when it came to whatever little distinction that means, just to be different? A plus, or let's just say, could anybody drop him to a B plus? What's the range? Or is A minus fair? I think it's fair. I think you can have a reasonable debate what distinguishes an A from an A minus, but we can continue along. We'll take a timeout. We'll try and squeeze in maybe a call or two if we can. We have cleanup on aisle three, and then we will discuss Jaden Daniels' rookie season just a little bit more as they've reached the bye. 13 games in, 8-5, and obviously a lot of happy early returns on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, because I mismanaged the clock, we're not going to have a chance to get to any more calls. So if you want to drop in your letter grades for Jaden Daniels through the first 13 games, do right ahead. Go right ahead at WrestleMania621. At WrestleMania621, Linnell is at Nell_BTP. And, of course, Matty Ice is at Mr._Me93, the radio station, at Team 980. So Linnell went with an A. I went with an A minus. Matty went with an A minus. I suppose you could make an argument for a B plus. I suppose you could make an argument for an A plus. Here's a question. Without going too deep into the conversation, is Jaden Daniels or Terry McLaurin having the better season? And can you even compare the two, being that they play on the same offense and they're essentially dependent on the other?
Who's having the better season or who's more important?
You answer it how you want to answer it. Just
who's having
jumped
the better,
out in my mind.
Who's having the better season statistically? I mean, Scary Terry is top five in a lot of statistical categories, not targets.
Well, so is Jaden, though.
So is Jaden. I would say, Chris, that's you may have stumped me for once in our Windbag Wednesday history. I don't.
It's Waffle Wednesday, by the way.
Good God. I hear you, though, because I can make an argument for both guys. I would say this about Terry. Terry's having to work a hell of a lot harder than Jaden is to have success.
Mm.
Now, I know the Jaden backers and the, you know, the JD5 hive is going to get after me for that, but you understand what I'm saying by that, right? I said it at the top of the show, I've said it multiple times here throughout Cliff's debacle here. Jaden is a byproduct of one of the most quarterback-friendly schemes in the NFL. Terry, because he does not have other viable pass-catching options around him, receives all of the attention and in turn has to work, in my opinion, 10 times as hard to put up the production and to achieve the production he's put up this year. So I would go with Terry McLaurin, probably.
Interesting.
Am I off base?
I would say this. Because Jaden has the ball in his hands on every snap, because Terry is sort of dependent on a lot of different things, I would say what Jaden has done at his position at the prowess that he has, even though Terry has been great and Terry has done amazing things, to me, I would say, Jaden, A, he's a rookie, but because he's, again, handling so many things that Terry doesn't have to, I gotta give Jaden the nod, right? Terry doesn't have to worry about audibles, switches, checks. He doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff.
He has to know his job.
Well, sure.
And you all want him to line up everywhere, so guess what? He also has to do know every route in the route tree at every position.
Yeah. Well, don't start throwing me into that.
Oh, I am.
I'm just the guy.
I know why he's Trombolis, and I'm from New York.
I think it does benefit him to be moved around.
Well, you saw the benefit of it on the touchdown in the red zone.
Well, sure.
You know, bottom line is, though, both of them have been awesome. I would say Terry's numbers, once we have the bye week and now he gets to go on a bye, I wonder, like, how much better they look or if they look worse. What's the outcome of that? If he's played... So, yeah, do his stats come back down to earth? Is he still top five in every category after the
when
bye
they
because
come
he
back,
doesn't play?
Yeah, I mean, because he had played one more game than pretty much everyone else.
Which makes the target numbers even crazier.
Yeah.
He's played one more game than everyone else, and yet significantly less targets than the other guys that are, you know, in that category.
That's fair. All right, let's do a quick trending alert right here because we're a little bit late for that. We'll come back, clean up on aisle three. And a big NFL suspension? On the docket. So, things are not going well for the Baltimore Ravens. Two consecutive losses. Obviously, they got a field goal kicker issue and maybe to some degree a Lamar Jackson issue over the last couple of weeks, but they really have a Diontae Johnson issue, huh? That's right. The wide receiver, who was once a Pittsburgh Steeler, then a Carolina Panther for half the year, who was acquired by the Ravens at the trade deadline, has now been suspended by the team for conduct detrimental to the team. Apparently, according to general manager Eric DaCosta, he refused to enter Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Ravens are on a bye along with the Washington Commanders, so he will serve said suspension in Week 15 against the Giants. He only has one catch for 6 yards. Pretty incredible fall from grace for Deontay Johnson, who you thought would have been a great fit in Baltimore. Meanwhile, Micah Hyde back with the Buffalo Bills. They did not re-sign him at the beginning of the season. He is now going to rejoin them, and start on the practice squad, but certainly he can build up with his familiarity with the scheme to come back. He had sort of stepped away at the end of last season, so now he will play in a 13th NFL season, assuming that he is promoted to the active roster before the end of the year. Wizards off today. They'll try and snap a 15-game losing streak tomorrow night at Capital One Arena against the Dallas Mavericks, who, of course, last time we checked, were in the NBA Finals last year. Of course, this year is this year. Very different story. You can hear the game tomorrow night right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And that's what's trending. All right, coming up next, Craig Hoffman, Anthony Haney will take you through. Now, I was just informed by Mr. Haney that they are off at 6 o'clock tonight because of Ohio State Terps basketball, which I forgot to mention.
What
so,
the hell did you just say?
What?
Ohio State. It's Ohio. That's incredible.
Ohio State.
The Buckeyes. I am wearing your headphones, Anthony. Yes.
Hopefully, this Ohio State.
Aha.
Hopefully, this Ohio State.
Yeah, they do better than the football Ohio
State. Yeah, do better. Yeah, exactly. Maybe they're coached by Ryan Day. I don't know.
I hope they have the better outcomes than this weekend's games that's been played.
6 o'clock for Terps basketball against the Buckeyes.
Oh, let's just hope Terps basketball is better than Terps football. How about that?
Well, that would.
But they freed Grandma. I don't know if you saw Chris Russell. They freed Grandma.
Who's Grandma? What?
They freed Grandma, and Lox has acquired his first big time quarterback prospect since he's been here at Maryland, Spalding High School's own Malik Washington.
Oh, I did not see that.
4-star, landed him. And
so you wouldn't say that when Talia Tungavailoa transferred from Alabama, that wasn't a big guess?
This is different when you have to go in the household and do the groundwork. Yeah, I actually called a couple of Malik's games while he was at Spalding the last couple of years, and he is the type of guy, and they're in a tough conference because the Big Ten is just elite. If they're going to get out of the basement of the Big Ten and get back to respectability, and I know this year they dealt with the quarterback switch, so this was the first real bad locks year. Man, Malik's got the type of talent to where he can maybe ascend and help the program
very
get back
mobile
to relevancy. Mobile, but really is a precision passer and has got a cannon of a right arm, accuracy, touch with the deep ball, and he's 6'4". So
he could come in as a freshman next year and start right away.
I would have to think he would be the odds-on favorite to be the starter next year.
Interesting. Okay, I'm not that into high school football recruiting.
I'm not either. I
see it all over my timeline. Yeah. I just, you know, I don't know what it all ultimately means and lands on.
As you don a Hokie shirt.
Well, you know, let's get to clean up on aisle three so we can get to some of the things that we haven't been able to get to just yet. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask what we may have missed, what we forgot, what we need to touch on, what we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Yeah, before we get to clean up on aisle three, I've been told that Linnell, dude from section 208 is here to see you.
Oh, so you're the guy from 208? That's crazy. I'm being assaulted over the air in real time.
He's got you in the Cobra clutch.
Absolute insanity. Are you even hip to the story, though? Are you actually even hip to what I'm talking about, though? My rant that I went on Friday morning.
I'm from 208.
You're the guy from section. You're B Bizzle on Twitter?
Yeah.
You're not B Bizzle on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's no way you're B Bizzle.
Ask about me. about me.
Are you actually B Bizzle? So B Bizzle DM'd me on Instagram this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And
can you say what he said?
Well, no.
Oh.
He said
he's really that angry with
I
you?
I mean, he was sending homophobic slurs, whoa, like calling me names.
I mean, I think you should appropriately block him and report him is what you should do.
JJ Fad 89 is the page he created. Mm. I think he created it just to troll me. The page has 5 people it's following: Ice Spice, Shea Gilgeous Alexander, Lana Del Rey, Barack Obama, and Benito Antonio are the 5 people that this page follows.
And you.
Well, no, he doesn't follow
me. Oh. Okay.
This is crazy. Come in here. I've had it.
All right. We can worry about that in a little bit.
It's insanity.
We're just cleaning up on aisle three. All right. So here's a story that I want to get to. So the transfer portal, the unlimited transfer portal, and NIL drives me insane. It's ruined college athletics already. It will continue to ruin college athletics. Here's a story for you. Cade McNamara, remember him? He was at Michigan, then transferred to Iowa. He's entering the transfer portal again.
What?
And is trying to play a 7th college season.
Oh my God.
In 2025.
We got to do something about
that. He's a graduate transfer, threw for 1,522 yards, 10 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 13 games with the Hawkeyes during his 2 years in the program. I thought he was only with them this year, but apparently he was with them in 2 years. Started his career in Michigan, but trying to look to play in a third program while also playing again a 7th college season. We saw that there was a Miami tight end, I want to say, that was caught a touchdown pass earlier this year that was playing in his 9th season in college football because of injuries and red shirts and this, that, the other thing. He would need McNamara a NCAA grant to get an additional year of eligibility because of the season-ending knee injury he suffered at Michigan in 2022, which then led to J.J. McCarthy taking over, which then led to J.J. McCarthy winning a national championship and, again, McNamara switching and transferring to Iowa. All right, so that's that story. Did you have a problem, Mr. Linnell Willingham, with Alabama and their 3 losses, getting essentially the final bid to the college football playoff in last night's penultimate college football playoff ranking over 2-loss Miami, who both programs do not play this weekend?
Yeah, I did have a little bit of an issue with it. I think the reputation of both of the programs went into this decision. Whether that's fair or not is up for debate. But Bama's had some head scratching losses this year, man. If you're a Hurricanes fan, you have every right to feel like your program was screwed. Mm-hmm. Let's just hope, right, that they don't suffer the same fate of in conference rival Florida State, to where they bitch and moan all offseason and come back and suck next year.
Mm,
that's my warning to the
U. That's a strong strong opinion. I don't know if that's exactly what led to Florida State's demise, but certainly...
I mean, you lose your quarterback, things change.
Yeah, I mean, certainly but you no, can I don't, I, overall, make that I don't argument. Here's the one thing that I would say. Look, Miami was, again, Miami was a good team. Nobody's disputing that. They were 6-2 in the conference. They were overall 10-2 on the year, right? However, inexcusable losses... Inexcusable might be a stretch, but really hard to stomach losses.
Yeah.
At Syracuse last weekend, blew a lead. At Georgia Tech, had a chance at the end. But here's the thing for me, and this is where I'm always going to get in trouble. I'm looking for nuance and context.
Yeah.
Miami had 10 wins, true. And they demolished Florida and Gainesville before Florida woke up and smelled the roses. They demolished other teams like Ball State and South Florida, great. They did not play well enough to win, and yet somehow won against Virginia Tech in Miami on that Friday night.
I remember that.
And the next week on the road at Cal, and again, they won both of those games. Then the week after that, they played at Louisville And again, they won a game that they, in my opinion, did not deserve to win. Now, I'm not saying Louisville deserved to win, but Miami didn't deserve to win either. And yet they won all three of those games. And so to me, where I run into the problem is this. I look at those three wins as not wins.
But
I know
happen,
they are.
I get what you're saying.
But
it's
they're
the
not
quality.
Like wins that they deserve to win.
Do you know what I think that maybe the stronger argument is for? Who the stronger argument is for? Because they're in the same conference and they have some similar opponents is Ole Miss. Ole Miss to me is the answer. Like that's the group that ultimately is look at Ole Miss's performance against Georgia.
Yeah,
look at Alabama's performance against.
Look at Ole
Georgia.
Miss just a couple of weeks at home in Oxford, where they inexcusably lost, and Jackson Dart played terrible. Who did they lose to that day?
Okay.
I have to look it
Fair.
Up.
South
bad,
Carolina.
Bad loss.
What about the South Carolina?
Well, South Carolina is the one argument is the team that I would argue. Again, I look at how teams are playing. Not just at the end of the season. You look at South Carolina, it's
ascending.
Been a steady climb. Yeah. It's been an ascending
Mr.
steady.
It's Sellers.
Not two or three wins at the end of the year, and they beat Clemson, obviously, the other day. South Carolina deserves to be in over Miami, over Alabama, over Ole Miss, over any of these
I hear you with
over
that.
Any of these
I hear you arguing with that. They're an ascending team at the moment.
But again, not just two or three wins. It's been a steady climb.
Right.
For them throughout the year. We could argue that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder how much the preseason ranking goes into the thought process, too, because I think you should get more credit if you were a team ranked low in the preseason, but then all of a sudden you're now in this discussion at the end of the
That's
day.
That's fair.
So.
All right, I'm going to talk about this a lot more tomorrow. Now, you're going to be over on the other side working 10 to 2, so you're not going to be with me tomorrow. But Juan Soto apparently has multiple offers all north of $600 million.
Ow!
And at least one outlet, SNY, who is owned by the New York Mets, who is one of the teams that is heavily pursuing Juan Soto, is saying, hey, man, this decision can be made and probably will be locked up before the winter meetings in baseball begin next Monday and before – presumably, all the executives get to the hotel bar on Sunday night.
Well,
do you buy those two scenarios that this thing could end as quickly as Saturday?
It could, but what's the benefit is that for Juan?
And, I don't know.
And his club.
Well, the benefit is he gets to lock up his future.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do you think that he's there are offers on the table, right? Do you think that the offers on the table are the best offers he will get? Do you think there's anybody
laying in the weeds?
I mean,
if you haven't made an offer now, you're just being stubborn and you're waiting like to the very last minute to see if you could jump in there and finagle something. Like Toronto, Boston, the Yankees, the Mets, I believe are the four teams that are known to have made offers. Now, maybe there's a mystery team. Notice how I didn't say the Nationals. Notice how I didn't say the Dodgers. Notice
well, the Dodgers have already. I mean, they've been.
Oh yeah, the Dodgers are not going to go there. But I'm just saying. I mean, you know, no Phillies, no Atlanta. Toronto is the interesting one here because I would say they have to way outbid the others
because it's Toronto.
Because it's Toronto. Yeah. Even though Toronto's a great city, you got to get a player to go out of the country and play out of the country.
Correct.
And deal with all that nonsense. All right, I'm going to do more on that tomorrow. That is how we do that.
Clean up in aisle three.
Coming up next, Dum Dum of the Day. What's that smell? We'll tell you next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, a little beer money. My guy, Kip Moore. Not really my guy. I just felt like saying that. But you know what time it is. Yes, you do.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
Not for those of you that drink beer, some of you in excess. Maybe you've had a Miller High Life or two or 300 in the course of your life. But have you ever had Miller High Life cologne? Yeah, the famous beer brand is making a cologne that smells like a dive bar. Stale beer, sweat, and sometimes, as the story says, despair, all combined into one. Miller High Life. It's called Dive Bar Fume.
This guy stinks!
I like cologne. I don't wear it on a regular basis. Some people laugh at me when I occasionally spray my Axe around.
Sure.
Sorry, Jaden. But here's one thing that I would not be doing. Spending any amount of money to smell like a dive bar and supporting Miller High Life on their stupid little venture. Would you?
No, not a chance. Beer's stupid.
Beer is stupid?
Yes. Anybody, I mean, not take everyone on. I was like, anybody who drinks beer is.
Well, you almost did.
not a fan of beer.
That's fair.
It's nasty.
That's how you should have said it, as opposed to anybody who drinks beer.
Well, I stopped myself.
But you were about to go there.
It's what you call learning in real time.
Ooh, there you go. Thank you.
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dum Dum of the Day.
All right, Linnell, have fun tomorrow from 10 to 2 in for your buddies JP and B Mitch with your other buddy, Toby Altizer.
Should be a time.
Have fun tonight, actually, 6:30 to 8:30 over on 106.7 The Fan. Lots of Linnell on a Waffle Wednesday. Thanks to Matty Ice, as always, on top of things. We had fun in the first hour and a half, especially, and then we had to talk boring old sports. What can you do? Yeah, can only do what you're given. I'm back tomorrow at 1. Greg Huffman up next. Ohio State Terps basketball at 6. Have a great night. Adios on the Team 980.